Onto the word. Genesis chapter 32 and from verse 22. Genesis 32, 22. And I got this word just recently. We didn't, the communication broke down, but God is, he's blessed me, so I hope it blesses you as well. But it's entitled, in my Bible anyway, Jacob Wrestles with God. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he sent them across the stream, he sent them over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Let me just commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for your word, and we ask you again on this day that you would speak to us. Speak into our hearts, Lord God. Speak through me, Lord God, in all my weakness, Lord God, I ask that you would touch our lives in a fresh way again today, so that we would leave this place knowing that we have met with you, and knowing that you have kind of you've kind of fanned the flame within us, Lord God, that we will be a people of passion and a people who live our lives which are pleasing to you. In your name I ask this. Amen. I like the story of Jacob because it's a story of new beginnings, a story of change. And that encourages me straight away, that God is in the business of changing lives. In Revelation 21, verse 5, the Lord says, "Behold, I make all things new." All things new. There is hope for every single one of us today. Doesn't matter what has gone on before, doesn't matter how much we've messed up our lives, God has the ability to make all things new. So that's an encouragement to every single one of us today. Now, when I think of Jacob and I think of the early years, I don't really warm to Jacob, certainly in the younger part of his life. Because he's the sort of guy that if he was around you, you'd have to watch your back, really. Somebody I kind of sort of see is a bit selfish, really, in some of his ways. And that selfishness never did him any good at all, because Jacob spent most of his life running from people. He ran from Esau. Later on, he was running from Laban, and ultimately, he was running from God himself. And his life would kind of reveal deep-seated family hostilities, which kind of characterized his life, really. You could say he was a bit of a determined man in the way he went about things. You could call him ruthless, a bit of a con artist. Maybe a liar, a manipulator. In fact, Jacob's name means deceiver, or literally holder of the hill, or grabber. because he would grab whatever he could. Again, I feel encouraged because we read about people like this in Scripture. Scripture doesn't kind of paintbrush these sort of people who live quite sort of ungodly lives, but they're all in there. But it's wonderful how we see God change even the vilest offender, you know, and completely transform them. I just want to kind of summarize a little bit of Jacob's life before we get to this part where he's having this wrestling match. As for those of us who know Scripture and we know this story, that Jacob had done his brother out of his birthright. And the story tends to make me cringe how crafty Jacob was. And Jacob hears that Esau, who's now lost his birthright, is spitting mad and wants to kill him. So Jacob flees, and he ends up living with his future father-in-law, Laban. And Jacob's quite a shrewd character, and he manages to make a lot of money. He gets a lot of possessions from Laban. He does very well out of him, to the point where it causes friction. But whilst he's there, he marries Laban's daughters, Leah and Rachel, and they have children. So he's got lots of servants and livestock, and you know, things are going quite well. But Laban doesn't like it. He doesn't like the fact that Jacob has taken so much of his stuff. And because of that tension, Jacob flees yet again. He's on the move. So we find, leading up to this piece of scripture that we've read, that Jacob is caught between a rock and a hard place. You know, he's things are not as good as he planned them to be. He's got Laban behind him, his father-in-law, who's a bit mad because Jacob's taken his daughters and all the grandchildren, and he's gone without saying goodbye. So Laban's pursuing Jacob, but in front of Jacob is Esau. The word's been sent to Esau that Jacob's on his way, and now Jacob hears that, yes, Esau's coming to meet him with 400 men. And it got him shaking in his boots. You know, he thinks, oh no, you know, I've had it. And he's petrified, he's scared, which kind of, again, sums up Jacob's life. Always on the run, running from something. Things go all right for a while, and then all starts to unravel, and Jacob finds himself very anxious and afraid, and running away from yet another problem. So he tries one last time to save his skin, which kind of typified Jacob, really, always kind of looking out for his own interests. And the party of people that Jacob was with, all his servants and his children and livestock, he splits them up, and he sends the first group on towards Esau. And he liked for Esau to accept it as a gift, kind of to pacify him a little bit a sweetener. But if that don't work, if he kills them all, then maybe the group behind could flee. And I could just imagine these groups being split up. You know, well, you're in the first group, you're going first. And if it all goes wrong, we're going to sort of disappear. I think, cheers, thanks for that. And, you know, this is kind of the guy Jacob was. And so all these groups are moving on ahead. And then we get to the passage that we have just read. And Jacob finally sends his family and some of those remaining servants across that stream. And now we find him entirely alone. And this is where God begins to kind of move in people's lives, certainly in Jacob's lives. Because the only way we can truly understand ourselves is to be left alone with God. You know, and you know, to be constantly on the move, and you know, it's just typical of our society. to have lots of things going on, lots of distractions, it stops people from facing God, you know, being still and alone with God. And we need to be left alone at times. We need to be in that place with just God, because we need to get away from ourself, as it were, from the world, from its philosophies, its reasoning, and other voices. We need to be able to weigh ourselves in the balances of God's sanctuary. And, you know, I have experienced this a number of times in my life, in that just quiet place with God, and God begins to speak to me. And hopefully, even today in Slavebrook, in this stillness and away from the hustle and bustle, God, even now, can be speaking to each one of us. So Jacob now is in the presence of God, and he begins to have a struggle. He begins to wrestle, I believe, with God. I know it says here it's a man. I think at first Jacob didn't know who he was dealing with, but over in verse 30 it says that he had seen God face to face and lived. So I'm assuming that he's actually directly been wrestling with God. And in the end, Jacob does what we all must do. He confronts his failures, his weaknesses, his sins, and all the things that are hurting him. And he faces God. And we do this in prayer. That lovely gift that God has given us, where we can get before him and he begins to minister to us. I don't see Jacob wrestling God to get something from him, though that would seem to come to our minds firstly, but it's rather God is wrestling with Jacob to change his life. Many times we come to God, we give him a list of things to do. You know, right, God, you know, when we pray, right, there's my list. This is what I want you to sort out. These are the things going on in my life. And Lord, you need to sort each and every one of these things out. When in fact, there are times when God is wanting to speak to us. He just wants us to listen. To listen what he has to say to us. Scripture says, be still and know that I am God. And even today, there's hopefully an opportunity for you to just think for a minute. Do you know what? Have I actually been running away from God? Have I just been doing lots of things in my life and I haven't heard his voice? Maybe for a long time, maybe at all, I've not heard God speak to me. Change was happening back in verse 9 for Jacob when he confessed to God that he was unworthy of his kindness and faithfulness. And if we're going to come to God, we need to come with humility. And for Jacob, here's somebody who's beginning to recognize that he was a sinful man. He was unworthy, and he knew that he needed God in his life. In verse 26, he says to God, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I'm not going to let you go and hold on to you unless you bless me. And this is Jacob being desperate, getting desperate to get right with God, which for me is a sign of true conversion, true repentance and coming to God, getting right with God. I won't let you go until you bless me. When I was thinking of that, it's just that wonderful hymn, in Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground. And I could see with Jacob, somebody who is very fearful, he's got somebody pursuing him from behind, he's got Esau coming from the front with 400 men. He realizes that he's a wretched man, he's just made a mess of it all the way along the line, and All the materialistic things that he had around him, the wealth, didn't count for anything. And he knew before God that he was a sinful man. And he held on to God and said, I won't let you go. Bless me. Bless me. And then the words come to mind again in Revelation 21. Behold, I make all things new. This is the wonderful thing about our Lord Jesus. You know, even in our lives, you know, with all the different things that we get up to. And as I sat in a car before I came in here, something from my past way, way, way back, you know, that I had done came to mind. And I thought, oh, you know, something I was ashamed of, embarrassed of, you know, and the enemy's got a habit of doing this. Just before I'm coming in to preach, have a load of that, you know. And yet, I can come against the enemy and say, ah, but in Christ, I'm a new creation. That's all gone, you know. I am forgiven. I'm washed clean. I'm a new person in Christ. And that's the same for each one of us here today. I'd hate to think that anybody would leave this building without knowing Christ's forgiveness. The longer I've been a Christian, the more I'm grateful for it. Because the more the light and the glory of God has shone upon my life, the more I realise what a wretched man that I am. But Christ doesn't leave us down there. He lifts us up. He changes us. We become new people. And for Jacob, he gave him a new name. A new name in verse 28. His old name, Jacob, deceiver, grabber. Very negative. But his new name is Israel, which means triumphant with God. May God prevail. God contended. I like triumphant with God. He's gone from being a deceiver and a grabber to somebody who is triumphant with God. And certainly in biblical times, a name has to do with character. A new name means a new character. So essentially, Jacob is a new person. You know, that clear sign that God has already changed him and continuing to change him. And for us, well, when we give our lives to Christ, we are changed. We change from glory to glory. He now calls us his children. I love that. Born into the family of God, I now belong to Christ. And the early church end up being called Christians. And Christians are followers of Christ. So that's where our identity is. I think it was the Archbishop of Canterbury when it came up about, you know, who was his dad? Do you remember that? And he was basically said, well, my identity is in Christ. So I'm not too worried, actually, about my biological father. I thought that was lovely. My identity is in Christ. So whatever's gone on before, and you know, and sometimes we can come from dysfunctional families, and things can be a right mess, but God can give us a new name. We belong into a new family. Secondly, Jacob was given a new blessing. Verse 29, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And then God blessed him there. And when God blesses us, he's pouring out his goodness upon our lives. Blessing, it's not something you can get anywhere else. You can't pop next door into Tesco's and have a look on the shelf, where's me blessing for today. It comes from God. It comes from heaven. It's God's goodness. And we don't, you know, when I'm asking for God to bless me, I don't know what he's going to give me. But as far as I'm concerned, if it comes from him, from his goodness, then I want it. I want you to pour it upon my life. So Jacob tells God, bless me. Jabez, do you remember Jabez in Chronicles? A guy whose name actually means pain. You know, because it's to do with childbirth. Imagine that, your name. Because they would all know what it meant then. What's your name? Jabez. Ooh, mum didn't like you. You know. And that was, you know, that summed up his life. And Jabez cries out to God, oh, that you would bless me. Bless me. And that story alone of Jabez has really encouraged me now to ask God frequently for his blessing. Because God's not stingy. He's not mean. He didn't say, well, you've had your little bit for the month, and that's it. He wants to pour out his blessing upon us, his goodness upon our lives. And I want to encourage you with that today. You know, here's somebody, in this story whose life was in a bad place, hemmed in between a rock and a hard place. It's not going well. And he says, I won't let you go till you bless me. I want your goodness upon my life. And for each one of us today, this applies to all of us. Because you can't say, well, wouldn't it be crazy to say, I'm sorry, God, I've got enough. Don't need any more blessing today. I'm all topped up. You know, you can't get enough of God and his goodness upon our lives. But it may be for people, one or two here who said, you know, I don't have any blessing in my life and things are not so good. I would encourage you today to call out to God and ask that he would pour his goodness upon you. I certainly know in my life a big transformation over the years when I was in a place in my life which was very difficult. Lots of things going on. I felt in a little bit like Jacob, really. It kind of felt like it was all coming in against me. And I seen this prayer at Jabez and I thought, I want some of that. You know, and I said to God, I don't feel at this moment in time, I don't feel blessed. So I just ask you, I cry out to you, pour out your goodness upon me. And I've kept on asking for it regularly. More of your goodness, God, pour it onto my life. And I'm not telling him what it is. I'm not saying that blessing, by the way, is a lot of money, more money, you know, bigger house, nice car and stuff. I'm not dictating to God what the blessing is. I'm just saying more of your goodness upon my life. And so Jacob, he was given a new blessing. Also, he was given a new day. In verse 31, it says, the sun rose above him. I like that. I can picture it on a day like this. You know, early in the morning when the sun comes up, a new day. A new day brought a new beginning for Jacob. He'd wrestled with God, and now he was blessed. He was changed. The old life had gone, and now he started a new chapter in his life. And today, God has given each one of us another opportunity to start afresh. How many people in our societies, if they could, would start afresh? You know, all that's gone. Oh, I wish I could just put it behind me. Well, you can, because God's in the business of giving us new beginnings and fresh starts. And for Jacob, he got up that day and the sun rose above him. It was a new day and a new start. Finally, Jacob was given a new walk in verse 31. He was limping because his hip was wrenched and it affected the way he walked. Jacob had been touched by God and that was his testimony. What about you and what about me? What is our testimony? You know, is there evidence in our lives that God has touched us? In my life, I've tried, praise God, you know, through His Holy Spirit within me, I've tried to show evidence of a changed life. So it's why when I go, in the many years I was on the building sites and places like that, I did not want to hide what God was doing in my life. I wanted people to say, he's different. I remember a guy was working in a house doing some building work in that, and it's a lot of banter with builders. And this guy said to me, he said, Steve, I've noticed over time, you don't swear. Now, swearing is part of the, you know, language of a building site. Everybody's swearing, and they add a little bit of English in between. You know, and he said, you're not swearing. Somebody shouted out, that's because he's a churchy. And hey, what's that about? And it gave an opportunity to just explain, you know, that I was a Christian, follower of Christ, and that I didn't want to swear because I didn't want to dishonor the Lord. And, so even in little things like that, I want to show a difference in my life. And for each one of us, you know, we need to be encouraged to, you know, for those who are Christians, that we have a walk that is different to how we used to be. You know, that's the old me. That's before Christ. Now Jesus is in me. My walk is completely different. And for Jacob, God had not only given him a new name, he gave him a new blessing, a new day, and now a new walk. And I just want to encourage you, just as we come to a conclusion, that we have this gift of prayer. Because with Jacob, he's in that lonely place, alone with God, and it's just what God wanted to him. Right here, no other distractions, and God was able to minister to him. Jacob had to wrestle things. He had his own selfish pride that got in the way, but God won over and changed his life. And I want us to just think for a moment again about that gift of prayer. It's that wonderful opportunity where we can get into the very throne room of God. I kick myself, you know, for not praying enough. You know, come on, Steve, you know, you can get right into the presence of God and have communion with him. Talk to him, and he can talk to you. It's that a wonderful privilege. And when we come to him in prayer, we can confess our sins and admit we're not good enough. That's a good place to start. Humility. You know, where he's saying, well, God, I realise my failings and my sinful nature. And we come before a God who is able to forgive. Through prayer, we can find forgiveness of our sins and salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I just ask again today, if anybody here doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, please don't leave this building today without speaking to me or somebody else here who knows, loves the Lord, because God wants to change you, wants to give a new name, a new walk, a new blessing. Through prayer, we can remind God of his many promises for us, which are written in the Bible. Jacob did that earlier on, I think in verse 9. He actually reminded God of some of his wonderful promises. That's not a bad thing. You know, particularly if you feel you're in a place where things aren't working out right and it's tough and it's difficult. Say, come on, Lord. I remember reading in here some of your wonderful promises. You promised never to leave me or forsake me. And as you bring these promises again to God, it reaffirms what God actually wants for you. And through prayer, we can ask God for his blessings to be poured out upon us. More of your goodness, Lord. If anything that you take away from today, just take away this opportunity to ask God that he would pour out his goodness upon each and every one of you. God is not stingy. In fact, there's a piece of scripture that just really underlined this in Malachi 3 and verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Test me on this, he says, and see that I will pour out so much blessing, it will just overflow. I love that picture. You can't contain it. He's going to give so much goodness into your life. You can't kind of, there's no room for it all to fit in. He's just going to pour out. God's a generous God. He changed Jacob from, I think, you know, from a not a very nice person, you know, a grabber, to somebody who really revealed the heart of God and was a blessing to generations from there. When this time is over, which is any minute now, landing lights are on, if you want prayer, because, you know, God is in the business of blessing people. If you want prayer, either come and speak to me afterwards, and we can pray God's blessing upon you, or speak to somebody else here. But don't run away. Don't run away from God. Spend some time with him and allow God to enrich your life and to, you know, to really change the way you walk. And throughout this week, that you would be able to testify, do you know what God has and is blessing me richly? And that you will be encouraged in your walk with him. Time has gone now, so I'm going to close in prayer, and then hopefully we maybe got time for that one song. Yeah. Lord God, we just thank you for the life of Jacob. Thank you, Lord God, that you show us the change that you make in people's lives. People who are lost, afraid, always running, always trying to kind of grab what they can in life. And Lord, you just bless those people. People who come to you with a humble and contrite heart. People who recognize that they are sinful and lost without you. And for anybody who gives their lives over to you, you bring them into your family. You give them a new name. Christian. Followers of Christ. And you give us a hope and a future, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, that you are generous. And we ask now that you would bless this church at Slaybrook. Lord God, that every single person here may have a love and a passion for you, Lord God, in your precious name. Amen.